Our Rosh will say good morning. Our daf today is Kuf Mem Ches 148. We have a beautiful Gemara ahead of us. We are beginning on Kuf Mem Zayin Amud Beis. Let's actually pick up four lines up from the bottom. Last word on the line. We read this a little bit already, but let's just begin from the statement. Our shir this morning is dedicated by Baruch Fischl and Sonia Kozlovsky and family, and Harry and Adrian Kozlovsky and family, in commemoration of the third yard site of Baruch Fischl and Harry's father, Mr. Leon Kozlovsky, Aryeh Ben Baruch, Zichrono Livracha, and again on a personal level, Mr. Kozlovsky, Baruch Hashem, was one of the three people who were the originators of the Daf Yomi two cycles ago, or well, the last cycle. Baruch Hashem, and thank God, a lot of what we have today, and a lot of the shit that we've been able to build up, should be a zechus for me. Shkoyach, Baruch Fischl. All right, well, so let's begin. L'memra, t'sav Rav Nachman Milsa, the Isa Bebari, Isa B'shchemira, l'esa Bebari, l'esa B'shchemira. So let's remember again, leading off in yesterday's discussion, was Rav Nachman teaching us that something that works, meaning that the only thing that a Shchemira is able to accomplish, is if a similar concept exists by a bari. But if it doesn't exist by a bari, then the shchemira can't do it as well. V'ha amar Rava, amar Rav Nachman, b'yet Rava said nimer Rav Nachman, we'll say top of Kuf Mem Ches, shchemira, sh'amar tenu ha'va'asi l'ploni, ha'va'asi l'ploni. We'll say if a shchemira says, I would like to go ahead and transfer over this debt to Ploni, so he transfers over the debt to Ploni. In other words, we will say that he has the ability to transfer over a loan to someone else. Now, Afa Gavdalei Se Bebari, even though we will say there is no comparable framework that exists by a healthy person. In other words, a healthy person can transfer. In other words, in general, we say that in order to transfer a loan, the only way that works is if you transfer over the loan document. This is Osios Niknos Niknim Mesira. This idea that if I want to give you the ability to collect on a note, I have to give you the document. But it's simply telling you or verbally designating you as the person who is the potential collector does not work. Yet we see by Shechemira it does work. So the Gemara says, no, Rapapa Amar, Hoil the Yoresh Yarsha. So Rapapa says that since a Yoresh would inherit this debt, therefore, again, halacha l'maisa works by shchemira. So, what does this mean? Take a look at the Rashbam. U'mishani hov yorish yorsha lezu hamalve hamilve kilu birshusoyi. So, let's remember again. Let's say the lender were to die, so the yorish would inherit that particular debt. V'amrin on the kamon matna shchivmira kirush shashavi rabbanon. We'll say, and later on, we will see that Chazal said that the matana, the gift of a shchivmira, has almost Yerusha-like qualities associated with it. Hilchach, kevan di'isei b'Yerusha, isei b'matna shchemira. So the Gemara says the following, that since halacha l'maisa, there is the ability, if a lender goes ahead and dies, so his son inherits the note, his son inherits the debt. So the Gemara explains very beautifully that anything that Shchemira itself is modeled after a Yerusha type of situation. So therefore, again, if it works by Yerusha, ultimately it works by Shchemira. And therefore, the Shchemira has the ability to convey over the note to someone else. Rav Acha bar Dravika Amar, Hava Isa Bebari. So Rav Acha bar Dravika says it's not true. There is a similar type of framework that exists by a bari as well. What's that framework? Ukid Rav Huna Amarav, Dom Rav Huna Amarav, Mara Li Biadecha, Teneu Leploni, Bema'amad Shlashtan Kana. We'll say again, this is actually an interesting halacha that we've referenced a number of different times. The concept of Ma'amad Shlashtan, actually, the Rashbam points out, we had this just a few days ago, that this is one of the three halachos, mitlas hilchasa below taima. Three different halachas, we'll say again, that are dirabanon, and ultimately, again, are treated like halacha l'moshe misinai. So one of them is that if I hold the note, I lent Reuven $10,000, and I hold the note in my hand, and I say, manali biadecha, I am owed a mana, teneu leploni, give it to Reuven, and I say that in front of three people, Reuven has the ability to acquire that amount of money. So you see, Rabbosai, that there is a similar concept of the ability to convey a note of indebtedness to someone else without the conveyance of the actual note. So because this concept applies by a bari, again, by a bari, by a healthy person, it's ma'amad shlashtan, so you can understand why this occurs ultimately again, or this could occur by a shchimira as well. Therefore, Rav Nachman's concept that whatever you do by a shchimira has to have some type of parallel by a bari, that approach is still intact. Ibailu, supposed to say the kasha. This is an interesting case. Let's say I go ahead, I have a palm tree, and I go ahead and I decide to give the tree to one person and the peros to another person. So, mi shir makom peri, olo shir makom peri. So, we'll say, remember again, we saw yesterday's daf, that a shchiv meira cannot go ahead and convey future rights. So shchiv meira cannot go ahead and say, I hereby convey the future dates of this tree to Reuven. Such a statement is ineffective because the machna shchiv meira must devolve upon something tangible. So the Marna has the following kasha. What happens if, let's say, now we'll say, it's interesting, if you look at the Rashbam says, it's ibayilu hudeka la'achad, So if that's the case that it was Ibari, then it should have been in the previous parak. So we'll say, so Rashbam understands that this is still a Shchiv Mira case. So we'll say, in this Shchiv Mira case, the following thing is happening. Shchiv Mira is dying. And what happens? He conveys the fruit, or I should say, he conveys the tree to Shimon, to Reuven, and he conveys the fruit to Shimon. So the Shai of the Gemara is asking is the following: Mishir makom peri olo. Do we say that when Shchiv Meira gives the fruit to Shimon, he's not? Now again, if he just gives the fruit, then remember, we'll say that's a meaningless statement because that's conveyance of a future right, and the Shchiv Meira doesn't have the ability to convey a future right. Here's the question. When Shchiv Meira conveys the fruit to Shimon, perhaps what he's also conveying is the little bit of the tree that attaches, that the fruit attaches to. Right? The fruit doesn't just grow nothing, the fruit attaches to the tree. So perhaps the little part of the tree that directly connects with the fruit, maybe the Shchiv Meira is giving that to Shimon as well. As such, the Shchiv Meira is in fact conveying to Shimon something that is in existence. If that's the case, then the gift should be valid. To which the Gemara says, "Intim silomar la'achar lo havishir." So even if you want to say that no, that ultimately again, when Shchiv Meira conveys the tree to Reuven, he's giving the tree in its entirety to Reuven, and when he gives the peros to Shimon, he's not giving any part of the tree to Shimon. Rather, all Shimon is getting are the future rights to the fruit, the future fruit, and in which case again, it's a meaningless conveyance. So even if you want to say that when he gives the fruit to someone else, he's not mishayer; he doesn't hold something back from the tree to give to that individual. La'atzmo chutz meperosav mahu. But say, what happens in the following situation? Let's say, I will say now, this would be ultimately again a case not of a shchiv meira bepashtos, because again, remember we spoke about the idea that if a shchiv meira is mishayer something for himself, that is no longer a matna shchiv meira. But listen to the following case. Let's say again, a person goes ahead, call him Reuven. Reuven goes ahead and gives over the tree to Shimon, but he keeps the peros for himself. Mahu. What is the halacha? In other words, Obosai, do we say that since Reuven is keeping the fruit for himself, he also keeps a little piece of the tree for himself? In other words, that little piece of the tree that attaches to the fruit, does he keep that for himself or not? Amar Rava, Amar Rav Nachman, Imtim Silomar Dekel La'echadu Peirosav La'achar, Lo Havishir Makum Peri. So Rava says, in the name of Nachman, if you say that when you give the tree to one person and the peros to another person, that we don't assume that the person who gets the fruit also gets a little part of the tree. Dekel la'ach la'echad, v'shir peirosav l'fanav, shir makom peri. We will assume, Abosai, that if you give the tree to someone else, but you keep the fruit for yourself, that you are keeping a little part of the tree for yourself. So, Rosie, here what's happening over here, we'll discuss why this is. But the Gemara is suggesting is the following. If I, the owner of the tree, am giving the tree to one person and the fruit to another person, we do not assume that the fruit recipient receives some part of the tree along with his future entitlement to fruit. However, if I'm going ahead and I'm giving the tree to someone, but I'm retaining the fruit for myself, we assume that lamaisa again, mshir makom peri. I do hold on to the little part of the tree that attaches to the fruit. My time, what's the reason for that? I will say, because gol kol legabi nafshe ba'ayin yofa mshayir. This is actually, we saw this before, by the way, in Amochera Sasvino, that there's a concept, I will say, that whenever you're going ahead and giving something away but retaining something for yourself, whenever you're retaining something for yourself, you retain it ba'ayin yafa, which makes sense, meaning you're retaining it in a way that is most beneficial to you. Therefore, again, because it benefits me, not just to have me being the owner of the tree, it benefits me not only to have the fruit, but it benefits me to have a little piece of the tree which attaches to the fruit. Therefore, by definition, I retain that for myself. Fine. Amrali Rabbi Abba Luravashi. So we'll say, so what the Gemara is suggesting over here, therefore, is the following. That when the Shchimira goes ahead, if the Shchimira were to convey the tree to one person and the fruit to another person, the person who received the conveyance of the tree, that conveyance would be effective. But Lamais, again, the person who received future entitlement to fruit, such a conveyance would be ineffective, because Lamais, again, the Shchimira could only convey tangibles. So again, if the Shchimira were to say, Reuven, I'm giving you the tree, Shimon, I'm giving you the branches upon which the fruit grow, then Einachinami, that is a proper conveyance, because the branches exist. But assuming he does not say that, we do not assume that a gift of the fruit comes with any part of the tree included with it, and therefore the Shmatna Shchimira would not work for the fruit. Works for the trees, doesn't work for the fruit. Gemara goes weiter. Amar le Rabbi Abba l'Rav Ashi. Anan ad Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish masanilo. We go ahead and we agree with this ruling, but we ultimately attribute it to Reish Lakish, Rav Shimon Lakish. The Amar Rav Shimon Lakish. Hamocher bayis lechaveru. So we'll say this is a similar case, but again, nothing to do with shchimira, but the principle is the same. Hamocher bayis lechaveru. We'll say somebody goes ahead and sells a home to their friend. Va'amrlo, amenas shadiyuta ha'alyona shali, diyuta ha'alyona shalo. So we'll say, so let's say I have a house, and the house happens to have an upper apartment. Rashi brings down, the Rashbam brings down, last line of the Rashbam, diyuta, hi aliyah ha'elyona shel gagabayis. This is the upper story that's built on the roof of the house. So I'm selling a house to Reuven, and what happens? The house has an upper story. So I say, Reuven, I'm selling you the house, almanas shediyuta ha'elyona shel, on the condition that the upper story remains mine. So what's the halacha? Diyuta ha'elyona shel, okay, we'll say, there's no real chiddush in that case. At the end of the day, I made the condition that the upper story should remain mine. Therefore, the upper story remains mine. Amud Beis. Iboilo. So we'll say, here's the kasha. Now watch this. Iboilo. Now both say, now we're going to discuss what exactly is the novelty in that first ruling. I mean, obviously, if I go ahead and I sell Reuven a house, and I say, Reuven, I'm selling you a house on the condition that the upper story is mine. So what's the shiloh? I'm selling with it tonight, with a condition. So of course, again, the condition is that I get the upper story. So we'll see again what the novelty is in just a moment. Iboilu, bayis la'echad v'diyuta la'echad mahu. But say, what happens if, let's say, I have this house with the upper story, and I sell the bottom level, the home, what we'll call, to one person, and the upper story to another individual. Mahu. What is the halacha? I will say, now look at the Rashbam for just a moment. Tap Rashbam, Kufman, Chesem, and Beis. Yibayluhu, Bayis le'echad. He says, B'matnas bari, v'diyuta le'echad, havi makum shir. Mi ika l'hai bal diyuta, shir makum b'chaser, l'hotza'as zizin, o lo. So we'll say, listen to this. The shayla is the following. You know, under normal circumstances, when you sell someone a chatzar, let's say you sell someone a home, and the home comes with a courtyard, a chatzar doesn't just have rights on the ground. The chatzar also has airspace rights. So the shaila is the following. If I go ahead and I own the home and the upper story, and I sell the home to Reuven and the upper story to Shimon. So the shaila is, have I sold Shimon additional rights in the diyuta? In other words, the real shaila is, does Shimon have the right, let's say, to go ahead and extend zizin? Zizin are just like boards or planks. Does he have the right to extend boards or planks from his upper story into the airspace of the chatzar or not? Finish the Rashban. He says, Imtim salomar lo havishir lachrini, aval ha'atzmo havishir, kigom do amrle bayis animocha lecha chutz midiyuta al yonah, Ol Dilma Lekashir. So we'll say, so this is the Shaila. Mi Habishir O Lo. So we'll say, so the Shaila is, when I sold the lower story to one person, the upper story to the other person, did I give the person in the upper story, was I Mishayer, did I give him certain rights in the airspace or not? Imtim Salomar Bayis Le'echad Vidiyut Le'echalo Habishir. So maybe you'll say that no, when you're selling it to two different people, right? I'm selling the lower story to Reuven, the upper story to Shimon. And therefore, again, Reuven has his space, Shimon has his space, and I'm not giving Shimon any additional rights in the chatzar. He doesn't have airspace. So he could not extend zizin. He could not extend boards into the avir, into the airspace of the chatzar. However, chutz midiyuta mahu. They both say, what would happen in the following case? What would happen in the event that, let's say, I'm selling Reuven the lower story, but what? I'm retaining the upper story for myself. I'm both saying, what the Gemara is saying over here is that there's a distinction, and we just saw this in Amud Aleph, there's a distinction between when someone is going ahead and selling something to another person versus retaining it for himself. So it could very well be that if I'm selling the bottom level to Reuven, upper level to Shimon, that maybe I'm not giving Shimon any additional rights in the airspace of the chatzar. He doesn't have the ability to extend the zizin. But what happens if I sell the lower story to Reuven and I keep the diyuta for myself? Mahu, do we say that I have retained additional rights in the diyuta and in the upper story, and therefore I could utilize the airspace of the chatzar for my own needs? Amarava, Amarav Nachman, Imtin Salomar Bayis Le'echa V'diyuta Le'echad Lo Havishir. So if you want to say that when you go ahead and you sell the lower story to Reuven, upper story to Shimon, there is no shir. In other words, Shimon, the owner of the upper story, doesn't have any additional rights ultimately in the airspace. Chutz midiyuta shavishir. If I go ahead and I sell the lower story to Shimon, to Reuven, but I keep the upper story for myself, there is a shir. We assume that what? That I retain air rights. I retain some level of air rights usage in the upper story. Va'aliba derav zavid. Da'amar shimratza lahotzi. We'll say first wide line. Shimratza lahotzi bazizin motzi. We'll say we would assume that the halacha is in accordance with Rav Zavid, who says that what? When I am the owner of the home, I sell off the lower story to Reuven, retain the upper story for myself, that if I want to utilize the airspace of the upper story by extending beams into the avir, I have the right to do that. Why? Amo kevan deshir diyuta makom zizin namishir. Because Rabbi say we assume that since I kept the diyuta for myself, I kept the airspace for myself as well. Rabbi say, what's the logic? The logic that's being espoused here is the same logic as we saw in Amud Aleph, namely that we assume that whenever a person is retaining something for themselves, they retain not just simply the item, the object, or the space, but the maximum usage possible. Therefore, again, if I, the owner of the home, am selling off the bottom story, but retaining the upper story for myself, we assume that I retain the upper story and the maximum usage of that upper story. What's the maximum usage of that upper story? We'll say the usage of the airspace as well. Hachinami, kevan damer chutz mipeirosav, makom peri sharis shire. So we'll say, so too over here, we would assume that if I have a tree and I'm selling off that tree to Reuven, but I'm retaining the fruit for myself, then not only do I retain the fruit, but what else do I retain? The little bit of the branch, right? The little bit of the branch that attaches to the fruit as well, I retain for myself as well. So we'll say, what we're seeing over here is the following. That interestingly enough, that when you go ahead and you convey something to someone else, so we assume that conveyance comes with basic, minimal, obligatory rights. So therefore, again, if I'm going ahead, and the case, just to keep it easy, I'm going and I'm selling off my house, my two-story house, I give the bottom story to Reuben, upper story to Shimon. The assumption is Reuben gets basic rights, Shimon gets basic rights, which for our purposes means Shimon doesn't get air rights in the chatzar. I sell Reuben and Shimon my tree, I give Reuben the tree, Shimon the fruit. The assumption is all Shimon is getting is the fruit, and he is not getting any part of the branches. But when I retain something for myself, the assumption is that I retain for myself maximum rights. So if I retain the upper story, the assumption is I retain air rights. If I retain fruit, then the assumption is I retain some part of the tree, at least a little part of the branch that attaches to the fruit as well. Amar Rav Yossi bar Yumi, Amar Rav Nachman. Shchimira, shekasav kol mechasav la'achirim. This is actually very interesting. So Shchimira went ahead and gave away all of his property. Shekasav kol mechasav la'achirim, he went ahead and he wrote away all of his property to everyone, to others. So Rowan, im b'mechalek meis, kanu kulan. Amad, Chozer Kulam. So we'll say, we see the following. Look at the Rashbam. Im b'mechalik, shemishah rishona shehizcha l'chalik, haya b'dayta l'chalik kol mechasev lo shir klum. So we'll say, listen to this. This is talking about the following situation, where a person is going ahead and giving away his property piecemeal. So what happens with Yerubosai? So the Shaila is, at the end of the day, he ends up dispersing his entire estate, meaning he ends up giving everything away. But the shayla we have over here is the following. At the time that he began to gift away his property, was his intention to give away his entire estate or not? Remember, again, this is very important. If his intention is to give away the entire estate, then even the earlier gifts have the status of shchivmira gifts. If, however, again, at the beginning of the giving away of his estate, his intention was not to give away his entire estate, then what? Then that's not called a matna shchimira. If it's not called a matna shchimira, so we'll say, what's the chilik between if something is a matna shchimira and a matna shchimira? So remember again, a matna shchimira, if the individual recovers, the gift is voided. If, however, again, a non-matna shchimira, which is a regular matana, even if the shchimira recovers, the gift itself is still valid. So watch this. It says, let's read this once more. Amra Yosef Amiyui, Amra Nachman. Shchimira shakazov, kol mechasav la'achirim. So shchimira went ahead and wrote all of his property to others. Rowan, so we examine the following. Im b'mechalek, means, we'll say, if we understand that from the beginning his intention was to gift away his entire estate, and therefore again when he died, we understand that his death took place, then when he dies, kanu kulan. Then we'll say, all those who received property ultimately again acquire that property. Why? Because l'maisa, again, is considered to be a matnas shchemira. On the other hand, amad, if he recovers, then chazer b'kulon. Then Rabbi say ultimately all of the gifts are voided. Okay. Im b'nimlach. So Rabbi say, however, again, look at the Rashbam. What's nimlach? Shelo haya b'daito lechalek kol nechasav ela achar shechilek shasak v'lo ratzel lechalek od chazer v'nimlach ba'atzel lechalek kolanosa. Rabbi say, if the way it worked is we see that literally again he gave a gift and he paused, gave a gift and he paused. See, he was thinking about, again, what he wanted to do with the remainder of his estate. Then I will say, we assume that that is not a matna shchimira. So it's actually interesting. The case of Nimlach, Rabbi Yossi, and this is very important, is where there was a pause. There was a pause in his gift giving. So the gifts were not, he did not disperse his estate, what's the word? What? Continuously, right? He didn't do it continuously, but rather, again, there was a pause in between the acts of giving. We interpret that pause, the Gemara says, as a lack of clarity as to what exactly his intent is, or to his lack of clarity. Is he just giving gifts? Is he looking to divest himself of his entire estate? So therefore, I will say that's not considered to be a matna shchimira. Because not a matna shchimira, I will say, so remember again, a matna shchimira is considered to be a gift al tanai. What's the tanai? This is yours, assuming that what? I die. Therefore, again, the gift is only valid if he dies. If he recovers, Baruch Hashem, then what? Then all the gifts are voided. Masha Inkin, a non matna shchimira. It's just a regular gift. What's the status of a regular gift? Whether you die or not is irrelevant. Once the grantor gives the gift, then by definition it's a valid gift, and the whether or not he gets better or not is irrelevant. So therefore the Gemara says, in benimloch meis. So we'll say, so again, we're defining this case of Nimloch is Shalohaya Bedaito Lechale Kol Mechasov. His original intention was not to go ahead and give away his entire estate. Now, how do we know what his intentions are? So the way the Gemara interprets his intentions is that he doesn't give away everything at once. Rather, again, he gives away something, stops, gives away something, stops. So the Gemara is interpreting those pauses as a lack of clarity of his intent to divest himself of his entire estate, and therefore interprets ultimately, again, his acts of giving as regular gifts and not matna shchidmira. Therefore, whether he recovers or whether he dies, those gifts will stand. Says the Gemara, I don't understand. The Dilma, Eyune Kama'ayim, V'hadur Yoyev. Maybe the reason he's pausing, I will say, is why? Because he's just contemplating who to give to. In other words, maybe his intention, see, we're interpreting his pausing to be a lack of clarity, or I should say, a lack of intent. He's not fully decided to give away all of his property. To which the Gemara says, maybe not. Maybe his intention is to give away all of his property. Therefore, this has the status of matna shchemira. Why is he pausing? He's pausing to think about who he wants to give everything to. To which the Gemara says, that's not the way it works. The Gemara says, stame shemira, meidak dayik, vahadur yohiv. This is actually quite interesting. So the Gemara says that lamaisa stam shchemira, so first decides what he's doing, and then dispenses his estate. In other words, which we will say, if you think about it, makes a lot of sense. Most time, when a person is giving away his estate, he's not doing this by the seat of his pants. He's thinking about his estate. He's first given thought to his estate. He's first given thought to who is getting what. And then only afterwards, after he's decided about how this chalukah is going to take place, then he goes ahead and he dispenses the estate. But Pepashas, the Gemara interprets, one who gives, then stops, then gives, then stops, is a person ultimately, again, who lacks the clarity. Is he giving this as a matna shchemira? Is he giving it as a regular gift? And this lack of clarity forces us to interpret these gifts as regular gifts, not matna shchemira. Therefore, the shchemira dies, or whether he gets better, the gift ultimately will stand. Says the Gemara. Amr Rav Acha, Bar Minyumi, Amr Rav Nachman, shchemira shakasav kol mechasav la'achirim, va'amad. Supposed to listen to this. A shchemira who gave away all of his property. Now, based on what we just said before, the shchemira gives away all of his property, we'll say, that is a matna shchemira. That's a proper shchemira. So what happens? Yet the Gemara says over here, if a shchemira gave away all of his property, va'amad, and then he gets better, eino chozer. So we'll say, the gifts do not go back. I was saying that this seems to contradict the basic tenet of shchemira. Generally, again, a matna shchemira is a gift al tanai, which is, I'm giving you this property on the condition that I die. Now, again, remember, he's not articulating it that way, but it's understood. Yet here the Gemara says that even if the Shchemira gave away all of his property and he gets better, eino chozer. The gift is not voided. The gift stands. Why? Because we're concerned that what? The Shchemira had property overseas. So therefore, what does it mean he had property overseas? He never gave away his full estate. Remember, again, it is only considered to be a matna shchemira when a person is giving away all of his property. But we're concerned over here in this particular case that the shchemira had property overseas. Therefore, he did not give away all of his property. If he didn't give away all of his property, then it's not called a matna shchemira. Rather, it's just called what? Stama matan, a regular gift. And a regular gift, Rabbi Osei, doesn't change whether or not he recovers or he dies. To which the Gemara says, 1 second. Vela mas nisin, diktani lo shir karka kol shuhu. Ein matanoso kayemes hechi mishkachosla. So I'll say ultimately again, but in a case where the Mishnah says lo shir karka kolshu, that he didn't retain any karka for himself, that the matana is not kayim. How can you ever have a case like that? Amrav Chama ba'omer kol mechasai. Seinachinami, if the shchemira makes a statement of kol mechasai, Abosai, so kol mechasai we can interpret as meaning what? Kol mechasai we can interpret as meaning all of my property. Mar berei Rav Ashi amar b'muchsak lan delesle. We'll say, so we'd be talking about a case. In other words, so what the Gemara is essentially asking, we'll say, is 1 second. You're going to tell me that when the shchemira gives away his property, that we're going to be choshish that he has property overseas? If that's the case in the davar sof, then you're never going to have a real matna shchemira, because you could always be choshish that somebody has something, some account in the Caymans or something. So how could there ever be a real matna shchemira? To which the Gemara says, either where the Shechemira says kol nechasai, so if he makes a statement of kol nechasai, then it's clear that he's giving everything away. Or the second possibility is where we know his financial situation. We know that at the end of the day, he has nothing else overseas. So the Maaseh will say, what the Gemara is introducing us to is an important yisod, which is that halacha lemaaseh, again, in order for a matan Shechemira to be effective, we do have to know that he is in fact divesting himself of his entire estate. Ibaylu, we'll say, the Gemara introduces a very interesting topic. So we'll say, here's the case. Take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. It's about six lines from before the Rashbam gets wide. We'll call him Yaakov, wrote all of his property to another individual, called the other individual Reuven. So right, Yaakov writes his entire, Reuven is not his son, writes his entire estate to Reuven. The chazer bo b'miktsas, the nason shuv la'acher. And what happens? Yaakov then seemingly changes his mind, and what he does is he gives some part of the property to Shimon. So at first, again, in the first iteration of the gift, Yaakov says, I hereby give my entire estate to Reuven. Then he articulates another intent, and he says, I hereby give half of my estate to Shimon. So we'll say, so the shayla is, Shahare yachol la'asos kein, kidam reading Rashbam, still kidam reading, daitiki levatelas daitiki. The Berkin de la'el, so we'll say, because remember again, a shchimira has the right to go ahead and what? Has the right to change his mind. Because we'll also remember again, shchimira gift is only granted when? Upon the death of the individual. So the shchimira has the right to change his mind as many times as he wants, prior to his death. So in this case over here, he says, I'm giving my whole estate to Reuven, and then apparently he changes his mind, and he says, I'm giving half of the estate to Shimon. So the Shiloh, look at the Rashbam, he says, Mi havi yechazar b'chol nechassim, shenosan l'rishon, tegolei daita shemeskari p'rishon, uma shenosan l'sheni matana b'miksasi, di'ika shir, v'havi yematana, v'asu yarshu mafki miyad rishon kalamosar, o lo havi yechazara, so we'll say, listen to this. So here's the Shaila. How do we view Yaakov's second statement? Do we view Yaakov's second statement as a cancellation of the gift? So Yaakov originally said, Reuven, I'm giving you my estate. And then what happens? Yaakov says, I'm giving Shimon half of my estate. So how do we view that second statement? Do we say that Yaakov is effectively canceling the first gift? So therefore, again, Reuven gets nothing. Shimon gets half of the estate. That I will say, understand, if Shimon gets half of the estate, then remember, this is no longer a matna shchivnera. Right? And remember again, because at this point in time, then Yaakov, the owner of the estate, is retaining something for himself. So do we say that the second statement is a cancellation of the first gift? Or do we say no? Rather, the second statement is what Rabbi Osai, a modification of the first gift. That originally Reuven got everything. Now Reuven's getting 50%, and Shimon's getting 50%. Rabbi Osai, that would still be a matna shchimira. Why? Because Yaakov, the owner of the estate, is what? Is giving away everything. So that's the shayla. Look at the Gemara. Ibaylu, chazara b'miktsas. So we'll say, if he went ahead and he retracted part of the gift, the first gift that he get, havi chazara b'kula olo. Rabbi Osai, is this considered to be a negation of the first gift or not? So tashma, kula on the rishon miktsas on the sheni. Rabbi Osai, if a person first gave, Yaakov gave the entire estate to Reuven, and then umiktsas on the sheni, and then he gives part of the estate ultimately again to Shimon, sheni kana, rishon lo kana. So we'll say, so the halach is the second person is kona, his part, and the first person is not. So we'll say, so what's the case? My love, Bishemis, we're talking about a case over here where the grantor, we'll call him Yaakov, died. And therefore, what we'll say, what we're saying over here is that Lemaisa, the gift, therefore you see from here that what? That the first gift is cancelled. The first gift is cancelled. The second gift, ultimately, again, is the gift that stands. My love, Bishemis, lo, Bishamat. No, the case of Osai is where ultimately the grantor is healed, right? He gets better. So we'll say this would appear to be clear based on what we learned in the Seifa. If you went ahead and you gave part of the gift, or also let's say the reverse case, Yaakov gives the whole estate to Reuven and half of the estate to Shimon. I'm sorry, just the opposite. Half of the estate to Reuven and the whole estate to Shimon. What's the halacha? Rishon kana, sheni lo kana. The first person acquires and the second person does not acquire. So what's the case? Iyamet bishlama bishamad. If you want to say it's a case of where the grantor recovered, mishum ha'chi sheni lo kana. That's why the second person doesn't acquire anything. Eli amrit b'shemes. But if you want to say that lemais again, it's a case of where the grantor, where Yaakov died, tarvayo lichnu. Then ultimately bless you. Then ultimately they should bless you. They should both acquire. Why should they both acquire? Because at the end of the day, this is a matna shchimira. Why is it matna shchimira? Because the grantor Yaakov divested himself of his entire estate. If that's the case, the halacha should also be true, even in a case where he recovered. See, if you want to say that when the grantor, I will say, retracts part of the gift, he really retracts and voids the entire gift, then the Gemara says, "Hainu disheni miaskana." I understand then why the second person is kona. Eli I amrit chazara b'mikzas lo havya chazara. Lo havya chazara b'kulo. But I will say, if you say that when he retracts part of the gift, it does not void the entire gift, then they have a kimechalik, then ultimately it should be like he's dividing the estate, ulechad minayu lo likni, and neither of them should acquire, and therefore says the Gemara b'hilchasa, Chazara b'miktas havi chazara b'kula. I will say, ultimately, again, the Gemara will discuss this in just a moment. The halacha is that when the Shechimir Abosai changes his mind, chazara, what we call the chazara b'miktas, when he changes his mind about the first part of the gift that he gave, this is considered to be an entire voiding of the gift. So if that's the case, Reisha Mishkachas La, Bein Shemes, Bein Shamat. So the first part of the Brei Sabosai could be understood whether the grantor recovers or whether he dies. Seifa La Mishkachas La Ela B'Shamat. But ultimately, again, the Seifa would only work if what? If he recovers. Sabosai, this is an interesting case. So what do we do with this Halacha L'mais? Let me just say this quickly. What do we do Halacha L'mais with this case? Remember, this is talking about, let's go back for just a moment. What we've established is that a Shechimira has the ability to go ahead and change his mind as many times as he wants prior to his death. Because again, remember, no one's getting anything anyway until he dies. So he has the right to change his mind if he so does. The shaila is, what do we do with this change of mind? Meaning, if he goes ahead and he gave the entire estate to Reuven, and then he says, I give half of the estate to Shimon, what does that mean? Does that mean the first gift is void? Reuven gets nothing? Or is he simply modifying? That's chazara. B'miktsas, havi chazara b'kula, that when you void part of the gift, when you change part of the gift, you void the entire gift? Or do we say, no, he's just amending the first gift? Up until now, Reuven was going to get 100%, now Reuven is only getting 50%. Which one is it? Supposed to listen to this. Shulchan Aruch Paskins, this is in Choshen Mishpat, Reish Nun Sif Yud Beis, Shchiv Meira Shenasan Kol Mechasov. If a Shchiv Meira granted all of his property to one person, the chazar b'miktsas, and then he goes ahead and he changes his mind partially. I was going to give everything to Reuven. Now I decide I'm giving 50% to Shimon. Stama chazar b'kol. I will say we view that second statement as a voiding of the original gift. Reuven gets nothing. Shimon will get 50% of the estate. Lefichach, im nasan kol mechasav rishon. Therefore, the Shulchan Aruch says, if let's say the Shchimira had originally given his entire estate to Reuven, v'chazav v'nasan miktsas on the sheni, and then he decides to give 50% of the estate to Shimon, harishon lo kana afilu im yamos shari chazar bo. So we'll say the way we view it ultimately again is that Lemaisa, we view it ultimately again as a negation of the first gift, and therefore Reuven gets nothing. The Shulchan Aruch then goes on to explain, well, what does Shimon get in a case like that? Because I must say, remember, interestingly enough, this no longer becomes a matna shchiv mira. Why is it no longer a matna shchiv mira? Because he's retaining 50% of the estate for himself. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Vasheni yeshal din matna shchiv mira b'miktsas. So he has a partial din. What does this mean? So the Shulchan Aruch goes on, essentially says that if Shimon acquired the portion of the gift through a kinyan, then that kinyan stands, that then it becomes a regular bona fide gift. But we're not going to get into this now. For our purposes, what we need to take away from this, Rabbi Osei, is that when a shchimera changes the terms of the gift, we assume that any change represents a voiding of the original conveyance. So when he says, I'm giving my property to Reuven, and then he says, I'm giving 50% to Shimon, so we don't view that as 50% to Shimon, 50% to Reuven. Rather, we view that as he's voided the first gift, Reuven gets nothing, Shimon gets 50%, and the Pashto say, oh, if not qualified any other way, it means that the Shimon is retaining 50% for himself. Fine, let's just go a little bit weiter. Listen to this case. Let's say a person is makdish his entire estate. And then what happens? He recovers. So we'll say, Pashas, what it seems to be is, he's making a matna shchivmira to hekdish. Matna shchivmira to hekdish. But then what happens? He gets better. So here's the interesting shayla. Let's say a person says, I'm hereby making my entire estate hekdish. And it's understood that he's doing this because he's dying. And then Baruch Hashem, he recovers. So what's the status of the estate? Do we say, Rabosai, that if a person's making something hekdish, that they mean it to be hekdish no matter what? No matter what? And therefore, even if he recovers, the estate is going to be hekdish. O Dilma, or perhaps, or perhaps we say that what? As much as a person loves hekdish, guess what? They love themselves even more. And therefore, again, halacha l'maaseh, if I recover, I don't want to be penniless. So when I thought I was going to die, I was giving everything to hekdish. But at the end of the day, now that I know Baruch Hashem that I'm going to recover, I need my property for myself. If you look at the Rashbam says, it's about 8 lines up from the bottom. Shchimira shehekdish kol mechasa below shir. Va'achar kach amad mechalyo, mi matzi hader be, mi chamir, mi matnas hedyot, dinema de gamar vehekdish, hakol belev shalim, ben yechye ben yamos. So both I say, is the shayla. So if I'm makdish again, do we assume that a person is always makdish, believe, shalim? So therefore, if I'm makdish it, I'm meaning to makdish it even if I get better, or no? I'm meaning to makdish it because I think I'm going to die. But once I recover, I need money to live, and therefore my hekdish should be void. So both I say, similarly again, hifkir kol nechas of mahu. What happens if a person ultimately again was mafkir, his property? Again, I both say, these are all shchivmira cases. So a person is the shchimira, he makes all of his property hefker mahu mi amirin kevan da aflani and kashirim gamro makni. So do we say that at the end of the day, since when a person makes his property hefker, we'll say hefker is hefker for everyone, for the aniyim and the ashirim. Therefore, again, there's the possibility that an ani is going to be able to get my estate and I'm going to be able to form this of tzedakah. So therefore, again, my intention is to make it hefker no matter what. O dilma, or no, I will say, my intention is to make it hefker. Why? Because I thought I was going to die. But now, Baruch Hashem, that I didn't die and I'm healed, I need my money. So I will say, so these are all nice things to be able to do with your money. The shayla is, how much do these, does this willingness to want to do something nice, how does that come up against, ultimately, again, my need for money, now that I'm going to live? Chile kol nechasav la'aniyim, my. Shabbos say, what do we say? Let's say a person decided to go ahead and give away all his entire estate to aniyim. Right? He wanted to give away everything. Rashbam says, Chilek nechasav la'aniyim mahu, so mi leima yad aniyim kiyad hekdish, vim amad eno chozer olo. Do we say, Shabbos say, if I give my entire estate to the aniyim, my intention is to give a bona fide gift. That is a gift, even if I recover. Even if I recover, it's still a bona fide gift. So my, mi arminan tzedaka, vaday migmar gamar, umakni. So we'll say, do we say that when a person gives his estate to tzedakah, he means that gift to stand even if he recovers? Oh, dilma kol gabe nafshe lo gamar umakni. Or Rabbi said, do we see that what? No, my intention, Rabbi said, when I gift my estate to tzedakah, my intention was what? Was what? That I'm going to die because I'm not going to need it. But now that I need it, I have no intention of giving my entire estate to tzedakah. So we'll say, the Gemara answers in all these cases, teku. Now again, we'll discuss tomorrow what to do with the teku in these cases. But the Maaseh will say this teku goes on all of these cases. This tikkun goes on the hektish case, this tikkun goes on the hefker case, and this tikkun goes on the tzedakah case. Although these are all very nice things to be able to do with my money, at the end of the day, perhaps my intention was only if I die and I no longer need my money, I want my money to go and service these particular things. But now that Baruch Hashem, I'm going to live, I need my money, therefore I need to take my money back from hefker, from hektish, from aniyim. That's the tikkun Rabbah. Say again, we'll resolve the tikkun Mir Hashem tomorrow.